This morning's reading is from Romans. It's page 1139 in your Bibles. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Michelle. Let's pray. Father, we praise you that you are the God of transformation. And we ask that your kingdom would come here this morning, that your rule and reign would break into our lives with grace and freedom and power. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are on a series, Making Your Life Matter. And I really love this title because I really want to have a life that matters. Our focus this morning is on having a life that matters through being transformed. Now, I wonder, has anybody here done, just going to move slightly out of the light, oh, that's better. Has anybody here done Couch Potato to 5K? Just raise a hand if you've done Couch Potato to 5K. Ellie is the only one, but I think she deserves a little clap, actually. Because I know that Ellie is now running 5K. We won't ask her how fast. If you are a Christian this morning, you are in a transformation program that is even more radical than Couch Potato to 5K. Why do we need transformation? Well, God first made people, man and woman, it says in Genesis, in his image. But we've kind of messed it up. And we're a bit like a piece of paper, a letter that's got scrambled, or a picture that is distorted. And I don't know if anybody here has an iPad, but some years ago, my boys had a bit of fun with an iPad. Maybe we could just show that. And you can play around a bit with your iPad camera, and you can get some quite distorted images. I won't tell you which of our boys this is. But it's not Johnny or Connor. And I'm really grateful that Ben doesn't actually look like this. But you know what? We could take this off because it's probably a bit embarrassing to Ben. Let's just take that off for a minute. Thanks, David. We are supposed to represent the image of God to the world, but actually we're often more distorted than that. The good news is that there is a transformation plan to restore you and me to the likeness of Christ. So here's the question, if you're a Christian here this morning, are you still the same person that you were a year ago? Because if you are missing something. Because the plan is that you're in a transformation program. Paul said in Romans 12, verse 2, be transformed. So how are we transformed? Well, there is event and process. I think often transformation can happen in our Christian life with quite a dramatic event. And some of you here have some quite amazing stories of coming to know God and seeing radical change in your life. I think we've had a number of stories of people who were addicts and they're just miraculously set free. I remember seeing that when I was in Hong Kong praying for drug addicts, them just coming off addiction with no pain. We've seen stories of people who overnight stop swearing. I heard a story this week of somebody who was going into a church ready to commit suicide, and the minister had a word that somebody there had a spirit of self-destruction, And she met with God and was miraculously set free. So sometimes the power of God breaks in an almighty event. And I think even after you become a Christian, you can find you have these power encounter moments. I would say I've had a number in my walk with God where I can think of one time where I really felt God broke in and broke patterns of real self-hatred and brought me to a point of much deeper self-acceptance. God can change deep habits of sin. And maybe there's somebody here today who needs to know that. There was a man called Cyprian who was born into a very rich pagan family. And he wrote this: "I so despaired of changing that I took an indulgent view of my faults and regarded them as part of my household." And I think sometimes we do that, don't we? We just kind of give up on changing. So we take a bit of an indulgent view of our faults. He became a Christian and he gave away almost everything he had. And he said this. In about AD 240, "After I had drunk in the heavenly spirit and made a new man by second birth, then amazingly, what previously had seemed impossible became possible. What previously had seemed impossible became possible by the power of the Spirit of the living God." He was martyred in AD 258. So transformation can happen through events, through power encounters with the living God. But generally, transformation is not a one-off event in our Christian life. It's a process. Apparently, you can buy a toaster, which you pop down the toaster, and it pops up with a picture of the face of Jesus. A kind of instant transformation. Generally speaking, it doesn't work like that. So whether it is event or process, what part do we need to play? Well, verse 1 of our reading says this: "Offer your bodies to God as a living sacrifice." Now, the word sacrifice is quite a big word, so don't lose me here. I took away a couple of days away to pray at the end of this week. And as it happened on the 11th of the 11th, on Armistice Day, at about 11 o'clock, I was walking through a field in Sussex. And I suddenly saw all along the edge of the field posts with names on them. And some of them were Polish, some of them were English names. And it was just lined with posts. And this was one of them, with an old poppy stuck on it. And I asked when I went back to the house, you know, what's this about? And apparently it was an airfield used for the D-Day landings. And these were all the people who never came back. And I looked at it and I thought there were people who laid down their lives because that's what sacrifice is. And God is calling us to lay down our lives before him. Now, I don't believe God wants you literally to die. And I think sometimes perhaps we can hear this stuff about offering our bodies as a living sacrifice and think God hates our bodies. He doesn't. Jesus forever hallowed the flesh. I love that line, the incarnation forever hallowed the flesh. Jesus loved a glass of wine and a barbecued fish, and he loved flowers, and he was physical. He doesn't hate our bodies. But we are called to offer our real lives to God. This was written first to a culture that was used to bringing an animal sacrifice. But our God wants more than the odd offering. He is asking for the total, costly surrender of our lives to him. As Billy Graham said, salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have. Now, this is big stuff, folks, isn't it? This is deeply challenging because when we talk about God being in control. We're talking about handing over control. And I don't know if there's anybody else here who has control issues. My family seem to think I have a few control issues. In fact, I've been lovingly known in our family as our dear leader once or twice. And I find that when we're driving in the car somewhere and Trevor is driving, even though we've been married now for 25 years, I still find I need to occasionally give him some advice. I don't know if anybody else does this, particularly when we're on the motorway and he's not keeping a braking distance. It's very distressing and my brake foot is going on the other side of the car. I don't know how it feels to surrender the driving seat of our lives. I know it's a big thing, and that is what we are called to do. We need a really big motivation if we are going to hand over the driving seat of our lives to God. The clue as to why are actually come in the few verses before, in the chapter before, chapter 11. And maybe we could just have that up, David. Thank you. Let's read that out together. For from him, to him, and through him are all things. From God are all things. This body, this life that we offer to God came from him. Through him are all things. Through the cross, the ultimate costly sacrifice of love, you and I are made his children. That's the offer. How can we then withhold from him? Paul says, in view of God's mercies, offer yourself to him. And I find that if I begin to think of the extraordinary mercy of God to me, that's when my hands begin to unclench and I can let go of those things that I've been gripping onto. Tristan prayed in our prayer meeting today, and he just prayed this, and I thought it kind of sums everything up, really. Your offering of yourself demands our all. To him are all things. Do you know we're heading to him? And we're going quite fast. This life's quite short. And I don't want to get to heaven and realize that I have withheld from God. And if that isn't enough, here is one more reason to offer your life wholeheartedly, freely to your Maker. It is the only route to transformation. If there was a graph, you could say that your offering of yourself and the degree of transformation you will see are directly connected. If you want a life that matters, you need to offer yourself to God. If you want a transformed life, you need to offer yourself to God. And if you want to be like Jesus, and I hope you do, you need to offer yourself to God. You see, we have got quite mixed up. We've thought it was all about me and what I could get out of God. And that's because instead of being transformed by the gospel, we have instead become conformed to the pattern of this world, which is fundamentally self-centered and self-orientated. Paul says, don't get conformed to the pattern of this world. Be transformed. I don't know if any of you here have ever played with Play-Doh with your kids. We had a lot of fun with Play-Doh. Just in case anybody's forgotten what you do with Play-Doh, I think we've got a little picture coming up, David. Yes, Play-Doh cutters. And what you do is you take your lump of Play-Doh and you cut out a shape. So here's the question. What shape will you offer your life to? The world or Jesus? What are you going to be conformed by? If you want to be transformed, offer yourself to God. And that's the process. It's a daily offering, because as it's been said, living sacrifices have a tendency to wriggle off the altar. I wonder, could you do that this week? Could you daily offer yourself to God? I know some of the most godly people I know make that their pattern. I'm not good at remembering this stuff, but maybe if you've got a smartphone, wave at me if you've got a smartphone. Quite a few people here. Write a little note on your smartphone every day this week. A little reminder, offer myself to God. And see what happens if you do that for a week. God isn't just interested in your soul. He's interested in every part of your life. Wave a hand to me. You know, God cares about your hands. You can use your hands to hit someone, or you can use your hands to lay a prayer on someone, or you can put your hand in your pocket and just withhold. You can type a bank transfer that will change a life, or you can clutch on to what you've got. Wriggle your toes. You can walk to a prayer meeting or not. Think about your mouth. You can speak of Jesus or you can argue, because it's with our bodies that we honor God. Think of your appetites. You can get drunk or you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the two things are mutually exclusive. Think of your sexuality. You can go God's way or the world's way. So I just want to be really clear. Offering our bodies to God is not just about deciding to live a good life. It's about living lives to God so that his power can set our lives alight. And we need to be really intentional about this, because we will conform to the culture if we don't actively and intentionally choose to offer ourselves to God. You only need to turn on your telly and you know the power of advertising. The messages that are coming to us all the time saying our body image is the most important thing. It isn't. That what we have is the most important thing. It isn't. What are we going to be molded by? It's very easy to live an unthinking life. I read this week that apparently the second most popular internet password is 123456. The most popular internet password is password. Because people often make the easy choice and not the best choice. God wants us to intentionally choose him, to stand out, to represent him, because we are made into his image that we might display him to the world. There was a letter written at the end of the second century. It was a time when babies were abandoned, adultery was commonplace, idolatry was everywhere. It was a letter written to a man called Diognetus. And he said, the letter says this: Christians look normal, they dress like other people, but they have children and don't abandon them at birth. They will share their table, but not their marriage bed. They're in the world, but refuse to conform to the ways of the world. They pass their days on earth, but their citizenship is in heaven. Poor themselves, they make many rich. Materially, they possess nothing. Yet they possess everything. They counter false accusations with blessing and abuse with courtesy. Despite facing persecution they don't deserve, they rejoice like those receiving a new lease of life. The early Christians stood out as being different. No wonder the church exploded. Do we? When we had our boys, I had some fantastic advice from my cousin who had boys. And she said, from early on, I just told my boys that we're a different culture. We're Christians. We are countercultural. And from the start, we told our boys that. Because we have to expect to be different to this world. So often in Christian history, church has been influenced by culture, not vice versa. Church leaders in this country advocated slavery. In Nazi Germany, churchgoers were pro-antisemitism. I could go on. They didn't even see it because they had been so conformed to their culture. And I think sometimes we don't see how much we've been drawn into the culture that is around us. Have we been so caught up by the culture of tolerance at all costs that we are unwilling to stand for Jesus? While Christians die for their faith across the world, we fear mentioning the name of Jesus to a friend. Have we been so caught up by consumerism that we don't even see and hear the call of the poor? And I know many of you here give so generously, so I'm not wanting to, in a way, lay accusation, but I'm stirred by our calling to be different, because we need to be conformed by God's standards and not the idols of this age. And the fact is, this is the way to joy. That's why the early Christians were marked by joy. I love the story of Eric Liddell, and we'll just have his picture up. And he's the famous Chariots of Fire guy who ended up in a Japanese internment because of his work as a missionary. Apparently, he stood out as being so full of joy. Because the lie is that offering yourself to God ends up in misery. Actually, we gain Christ. We get Jesus. And that is the greatest joy of all, because we're designed to be like him. And it turns out that this is freedom, because if I lay down my offenses, I'm in a better place. If I'm full of trust and hope, I'm in a better place. I get the joy of being generous, not gripped by money. It's just such a lie of this world to think that the cost is too great, because you cannot outgive God. We need our minds renewed to recognize the great lie that Satan propagates, the deception that says my way is best. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember that Play-Doh cutter? That's our thought patterns. Our lives are formed by what goes on up here. And we have to make a priority of allowing God's word to shape our thinking. And if you say to me, I have no time to read God's word, I will say to you, some of the busiest people I know make time. If you don't know how to do it, come and talk to us. And Nico's fab devotions are online. Because if we don't turn to be conformed to God's word, we will be conformed to the pattern of this world. What shapes your thinking? Jim Rohn says, you are the average of the five people you spend time with. Are you spending time with Jesus? Paul says, as we contemplate him, we are transformed into his likeness. And I want to finish here that this is so profoundly encouraging, because we don't transform ourselves. It is a work of the Spirit of God. Paul says, be transformed. Our part is to offer ourselves, our bodies and our minds, and then the Spirit brings the likeness of Christ. God's amazing plan is to transform us into his image as we offer him all that we are. And I deeply believe that as we do that, we will become part of a move of God in our generation. Tozer said, the world has yet to see what God will do if we will throw ourselves before him with open Bibles, open hearts, open minds, and open hands, and cry out to him for more of himself. It's my deep prayer that as a church we will do that. And it may be there's somebody here who is yet to offer your life to the Lord and to know how wonderful it is to know him. If you want to do that today, we would love to pray with you. But let's take a moment to come before the Lord as we are, really honestly, because he takes us honestly, and bring our lives before him. Father, we thank you that you are so loving. We thank you that as we offer ourselves to you, we discover your good, pleasing, and perfect will for us. And today, this morning again, we want to consecrate our lives before you, that they would be lives that matter in a world that so desperately needs it. Thank you so much that you say this offering of ourselves to you is pleasing to you. It's holy and acceptable. So I pray that you would set lives here alight today in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.